Okay, so back with this after post Nine Inch Nails, I did want to add something about that before we move along. One thing about Nine Inch Nails that I know people who listen to them understand, I know fans of the music and even people who are really into music who might not even like him understand, he's a genius musician. He is like a Mozart. Angelo Badalamenti, who is a family friend of mine, who is a genius, was a genius, God rest his soul, of a composer. He was saying that he's got that madness like Mozart. He's like, if you've ever read about Mozart, this guy has it. That's Trent Reznor in modern day. Just his understanding of music and how he hears things and what he's hearing is different than what you and I are hearing. So everything has intention, even though it is abrasive. I use that word a lot because it is the best word when it comes to certain sounds in music. It is abrasive. But what I love about Trent is he has a way of scraping the ear, as you talked about. But he also, at the end of it, knows how to like comfort it back and like, you know, get it, put a blanket on you, maybe put some fuzzy socks on you or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to get you back to comfort. And he does it at the end of that song. That's true. From this almost like assault on your ears in the middle,
right?
And then it kind of like fizzles out with some static, and all of a sudden these warm chords enter and these warm vocals enter, and it's now like a cradle. It's no longer you know, an assault. So I like that dichotomy, as you called it earlier, with Just Mustard. Mm-hmm. There's this dichotomy at play here,
right?
Assault and retreat. And I think I could see why you used that industrial sound for your video game soundtrack.
I did notice that it resolves in the end, and that is a nice like settling down. And in fact, even the little break where it goes into the drum and bass, like, it's so, I like drum and bass too, so it was right. A nice change,
which can be abrasive, as you remember.
It can be, but I still, even compared to the beginning of the song where it's really like the pure Nine Inch Nails that I know. But the drum and bass to me was a departure, which was kind of refreshing. So this song is kind of an epic tale, actually, right? That goes from here to there and there, and it resolves. So I agree that there's a composition there that you can compare him to any composer like Mozart. His medium is what is the abrasive part, right? He's not,
that's his brand, right?
But I would be interesting to know, has Trent Reznor done like an orchestrated like symphony?
Yes. Okay. He's actually done more score material in his last decade.
Yeah,
he's done a lot of instrumental stuff.
Well, that makes
that's
a lot of
way
sense.
More classical.
Yeah.
His stuff with Atticus Ross is almost all very opera, classical, but you know, with his, because he's really a student of the studio and
that's
like creating
cool
sounds and making things sound like nothing on this planet, which is what makes him unique and good. But again, I don't think somebody who just picks up after like at say 60 years old is going to love Trent Reznor. I think you have to kind of get where he's at. And I think I grew up with that. I kind of followed him along the path.
Yeah, yeah.
But even if you're a young person now, say you're 18 and you're discovering it, I totally can understand that.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think you could just stumble on him for the first time at say 55, mm-hmm, and just fall in love with it, because it's, I do think there's an angst, and you're right about industrial music. It's almost like, you know, workshop noises, you know, steel on steel.
Right.
And it can hurt. It could hurt. So yeah. I could see that being good in a first person shooting game.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, the bitter anger. Okay. So we're going to ease out, but not really.
Nah.
Because the reason this scopes back around, I could have easily just added Nine Inch Nails after this Bowie song you chose. I didn't, because this Bowie song is too beautiful to kind of come back around into something more abrasive.
I gotcha.
And so this is going to go reverse way back into Bowie. I saw these two on tour in 95, and it was a world changing moment for me.
Together.
Because it was just seeing Trent open for David Bowie, Nine Inch Nails open for David Bowie. The whole world got flipped upside down for me, because I was like, this is like two different worlds coming together.
Fire and Ice, yeah.
Oh my God, it was unbelievable. This Bowie choice, though, was for me, was listening to a new song, even though I've had the CD and album for years, never remembered hearing it. So talk about your choice.
I've always wanted to play David Bowie on our show, and I really only know a small portion of like all the music he's made that he made. And so I dug a little bit, and so this is the first time I've ever heard this song called Everyone Says Hi, and it's from 2002, which is kind of like middle, you know, mid to late, right, of his career. And I don't think late. I would have appreciated it back then if I'd heard it anyways, because it starts out kind of quiet. It's kind of melancholy. It's got a little bit of electronic production, and then it gradually evolves into this really confident and like steady rhythmic beat of a rock song. And then it builds in more and more, and then you hear more of what I feel like these classic Bowie like sounds and vibes and style, and his voice really comes out, and which is cool. And then there's these backing vocals even, so that builds and builds and builds, and you can feel like the emotion. So it's a song about him missing someone, whether it's a relationship or a business partner, and we're not sure, but you know, everyone says hi, like we miss you. And it starts off kind of like sad, but then by the end, it's so powerful, like in sound and delivery. It almost feels like he's lifted himself up by the process of singing the song, which I really like. It's like,
that's interesting. Very
it's like
interesting.
A journey through the guy's mind through the singing of the song. That's what it feels like to me.
Wow. Very interesting way of relating that.
And he's a legend, right? He's a legend.
Beyond.
And so I feel like this captures like the legendary skill and mastery of David Bowie and shows us how it works. This is how it's
to
done.
Me, he's on the Mount Rushmore of legends in music for me, right. Bowie. And I would say that Trent Reznor would be really close to being that same ballpark as far as genius level for me. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting about this is that I already knew David Bowie at this time.
Sure.
I met him a couple years earlier. It changed my life. The concert changed it, really. And I was only at the time of that, I was 19 when I saw that show.
Uh-huh.
So imagine my young, developing brain.
Yeah.
You know, I was way more intense about music back then than I even am now.
Yeah.
So just imagine what happened when I went home after that show.
Yeah.
And had to live with what I just witnessed. And then meeting him 4 years later, I think, 5 years later for that SNL, before the SNL appearance for the Hours album, which was the album before this. Now keep this in perspective.
Okay.
So 1999, he released Hours. I met him at a radio thing.
So cool.
Changed everything for me. I think I've told that story before.
I don't remember.
When I met Bowie, a guy, he drank out of my coffee cup and I was freaked out. It was amazing. He was talking to me like a normal human being.
Okay.
It was a wild experience.
Yeah.
So 2 years later, I didn't even like the album Hours, which was when I met him.
Sure.
I didn't like the album. I liked one song on it. So then this album comes out like 3 years later. I was in radio at the time and it ran a pop station, but they used to always send me the alternative stuff. They sent me a copy of this in advance, this album. And I liked like two or three songs a lot. But to me, he was on the downswing. Like, he was definitely not what he was. And yet he was still breaking some new ground, but not quite like he was in the 90s anymore.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how great this song was, dude. Holy cow. So this was like discovering the album for the first time. But he was 20 years, almost 20 years before he died.
Right.
So I think now he was, you know, pretty young when this came out. He wasn't old. And the album sounds like a rebirth for him at this stage in his career, even though the hits had dried up, the million record sales has dried up, but this was an artistic record. And I think now I'm revisiting it with new ears. Very cool choice.
Yeah.
You could have chosen any one of 100 Bowie songs that were like well known.
I know, right?
Unknown.
And so
and you
that's
chose
what,
this sort of
well,
out of the way song off of an out of the way album, and it's
exactly,
cool.
Exactly. He's born in 1947, so he wasn't he's super young. When he was 16.
Well, I mean, he was still in his. I mean, so in 2002, he was like. I mean, he's no much different from our age now. So do you feel like you could still create some, can't you know?
Yeah.
I think when you're 70, when he passed, he was, I think 70, was he 70? 61 when he died? Something like that. I don't remember how old he was.
69. He was 69 when he
died. Okay, so he's 70 years old. So he still had 20 years to go after he wrote this record. And he died, you know, unexpectedly, kind of young. So I think he was in a renaissance point in his career right then.
Yeah.
And I don't, maybe we just, I didn't notice it, but I think he felt like he still had, his best album was still to come at that point.
I think, you know, even when this song came out, it probably, the industry wasn't ready for this type of song, and it, that's fine. Like, that's why.
Too much pop there. That's
So I'm glad we have the song, right? And it's a kind of a nice work of art, and that's why it's in my fourth position. Like, I really normally wouldn't play, I think, such a popular artist here at the fourth position, but because it's this kind of unknown or a lesser known song, I felt like this is like a really cool, hard hitting, very subtle choice, and that's, so I'm glad you know, feel the same way.
Oh, yes. I don't think, I thought you were saying, you know, choosing a popular artist, sure, but not one of his popular songs. So it kind of, that cancels out.
Yeah. But I also thought maybe you might say like, oh, everyone knows this song. It's super popular. You know, I didn't know.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all. I would also say that my choice after it follows the same kind of pattern and of sort of logic, I would say, not necessarily pattern. I thought of similarly in how I approached picking a counter song to this, and also going way outside of what I would typically choose for this show.
Yeah.
So this is definitely one of those moments where I decided I'm going to like take you all a little further off the ranch with me for this one moment. And we're going to start with your choice, David Bowie, from the album Heathen. Which again was critically pretty praised at that time, even though it didn't yield many hits.
Right.
This song is called Everyone Says Hi, Willis's Choice, followed by My Morning Jacket, which is the name of the band, by the way. That's not my jacket's coming to the show next. That's why I wear my morning jacket.
The jacket's off, the sleeves are rolled up.
Yes. So let's get to the music on Hi-Fi Dreams Deep Dive.
Said you took a big trip. They said you moved away. Happened oh so quietly, they say. Should've took a picture, something I could keep. Buy a little frame, something cheap for you. Everyone says hi. Said you sailed a big ship. Said you sailed away. Didn't know the right thing to say. I'd love to get a letter. Like to know what's what. Hope the weather's good and it's not too hot. For you, everyone says hi. Everyone says hi. Everyone says, don't stay in a sad place where they don't care how you are. Everyone says hi. The money is lousy. You can always come home. We can do the old things. We can do.
Hi-Fi Dreams Deep Dive.
Watching the street you roll, the miles of light explode, drifting off the thing I'd never done before. Watching the crowd roll in, alcohol lighting begins. Feeling in my bones I never felt before. Feeling good.
Hi-Fi Dream, you're listening to The Deep Dive. We're coming out of My Morning Jacket, Golden, which is one of their breakthrough moments musically on that album. It Still Moves was like a breakthrough for them, and that song was one of the singles off the album. It's just beautiful, a fan favorite. Before that was Willis's Choice, Everyone Says Hi by David Bowie. Both songs have a similar wistfulness about them, a sort of a nostalgic feel, like they're both like speaking about Bowie speaking about somebody who moved away from him,
right?
Who's gone on to they're trying to improve their life and get, you know, somewhere, and saying everyone says hi back home. The right. other one is from the perspective of the person who left home, kind of leaving behind a wife or a girlfriend while they try to pursue their dreams. And I just love this sort of emotional, heartwarming feel to both of these songs. What did you think of it, though? What's your feelings on My Morning Jacket?
I was a little bit, first I was like, wait, I hear Kansas Dust in the Wind in the beginning.
Yeah, I could hear that.
There's a country twang to this, and I was first like a little bit off put, like, okay, what's going on here? Why are we playing country music? And and not country per se, like country rock, like twangy. But then I got into it, and like you say, the harmonies, the heartwarming harmonies with the kind of the nice country rock beat, and they use a reverb that gives that sense of dreamy, atmospheric feel that we talk about a lot on Hi-Fi Dream as far as that vibe, except in this way, you hear it in a more of a country road, you know, out in the plains way versus a dark, smoky lounge or up in 30,000 feet in an airplane. You don't feel congested type of atmospheric. You feel like the open plains atmospheric. So I get it. And it's a different angle, I think, for even the Deep Dive to hear this kind of country twang. And it's cool, actually. It brings in, I think, it's called like a wormhole that you've opened up with this show, yeah. with this song in Hi-Fi Dream, being on Hi-Fi Dream, even though we've played My Morning Jacket before, you chose them previously. That sounded more like a indie rock squeeze sound to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But this song kind of goes a different direction genre-wise, which is very different from what we usually play.
I think their roots in classic rock and that particular 70s rock era, like the Eagles and Neil Young and all that stuff, I think that's where some of the twanginess comes. But if you listen to this album, even just the album that this is on, It Still Moves, there's some like harder edge psychedelic rock on there. There's some more straight ahead pop rock. There's some ballads. Everything is like almost like a trip hop moment or two, more like a groovy, I would say slower psychedelic groove. But this is a country sounding song, but classic country. I'm talking like Merle Haggard stuff or whoever, Waylon Jennings, these guys who could sing with this just laying their hearts out, just That's tearing right. it open and leaving it there for you to see. That stuff is amazing when it's done right. Yeah. And I think they capture it as if if you didn't know, you might think that's from the 70s, that song, and it wasn't. It was from the, you know, essentially 99, 2000. So I just a very, very complex band with a great song that hits all the feels for me. And I think coming out of the Bowie song, they go together like, you know, bread and butter.
Well, these are actually released within a year of each other, right?
So, true, yeah.
Yeah, so 2 years same era. Yeah. And I wouldn't have guessed it was the My Morning Jacket, even though I don't know much about them. But it just didn't, those names don't line up with me. And the fact that this album has sounds like a very, very diverse offering shows their ability, right? That they can make any kind of music, sounds like.
And they are a live spectacle. They are much better live than they are any other way. They're just they're like almost like a Grateful Dead or Allman Brothers in that regard. They just take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. If you ever decide to go down that wormhole of My Morning Jacket, there's so much to be discovered, and it's really good if you're into that, you know, kind of more rock side. Although they've gotten more soulful in later years, a little more poppy. But yes, great stuff. Speaking of, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I think now you've officially cracked open like the country like angle though. Now that gives me some room. Yeah. For
well,
my
you have room
picks.
To do whatever you want. You can go. That's the nice thing. You can kind of. I just snuck that in there off of a unusually kind of poppy, folky Bowie song. Not folky, but. But yeah, you can go anywhere you want. That's the beauty of this show. In fact, I feel like I can't take Golden by My Morning Jacket onto Hi-Fi Dream any other way.
That's right.
I have other songs by them I do play that do fit nicely. That one's very overtly country, so really? I don't necessarily ever want to play it anywhere else, but I'm so happy to play it here.
Yeah.
And this is a very, again, we always take a harsh left or right at some point in the show. This is the one for this show, because coming out of that song to what I think is a more straight-ahead pop sound.
Oh, yeah.
For these next two, and Jay Soam isn't local person at this point.
That's right.
Another local.
From Walnut Creek, Pleasanton area, Bay Area local. I didn't really know about them, but I was listening to KEXP, and they were talking about this artist and sounded interesting, so I looked them up. And I like this collaboration with Jay Soam and Haley Williams, who is the vocalist from Paramore. And it's a short little song, new release, called Past Lives, that has really, I think, pretty harmonics, like guitar harmonics, which I really like, and vocal harmonies as well between the two singers here. And there's these mood swings in it, what I call these 90s style power chords, like kind of like Smashing Pumpkins used to some of their songs, but with their vocals, these harmonies, softer edge. And so it's an indie rock, indie pop song that kind of to end the show, like on a high note.
This album, Jay Soam's new release, is very different than what I expected. It's almost surprising at times. I thought it was going to be more reflective of what I've heard in the past.
So you follow her.
Yeah, and okay. We played them on Hi-Fi for quite some time, even the earlier stuff.
Okay.
But this album, I haven't really been able to figure out which is the song, so I was kind of playing several. And the first single was a dancier, second single was more like dream pop, and then there's this song, which is a rock song. Yeah. So I don't know, I really am not sure where the next projects shall be going.
Right.
But I was very surprised because Haley Williams blew up. That you're talking about, Haley is a star now, a superstar. Mm-hmm. I have a very unique perspective because I was working with Paramore for, over about 2 years when I was doing Bamboozle. They were one of our core artists, and they did the Bamboozle road tour for us, which I was basically the director of. So we used to do like these viral, at that time, it's 2000, you're talking about 2007 or 8. Before viral was really a thing, but it was kind of, we used to do these like on little short videos, Bamboozle TV.
Okay.
And we had her out on a tour with a bunch of other bands and for the Bamboozle tour. And we, road show, we called it. And we had them filming videos for us. So I communicated with her and the band over and over every day for about, I would say 2 years, but over the course of 2 years, a lot of interactions. And filmed a bunch of stuff with them, went and did several episodes with them, you know, spent the day filming, bring camera crews. And she was very young at that time, but you could tell she was already a star, and Paramore was taking off. That's why they were headlining, or one of the close to the headliners of Bamboozle, not quite the top of the bill, but very close.
All right.
And I was very there. They were almost like straight edge kids, Paramore, not very rock and roll, if you will.
Okay.
They had, you know, she dyed her hair and did all kinds of crazy stuff, but I don't know for a fact, but I almost think they may have been like a bit religious, her family or those kids.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I got that impression. Didn't curse, didn't really drink,
clean.
You know, there was definitely no, opposed to the other bands I was working with at that time where it was like, hey, can you go get us XYZ
all
the time? They were not, they were like drinking, you know, Red Bulls were like too much for them. So we, as another thing, we had a Red Bull, a contract with Red Bull. They were like sponsoring the tour.
Yeah.
So we used to get cases and cases and cases of Red Bull, and we'd give it out to everybody everywhere we were.
It's like currency.
And that was their addiction at the time. That they would always ask us for Red Bulls, and we used to kind of laugh. It was like their cocaine.
Yeah,
but anyway. She was super nice, but she got popular, and I noticed her being different when I last ran into her. And she's a little bit, I don't want to say snooty, but she definitely, I think she knew, was reading her press for a while, but like still a good person. And I was surprised at her morphing into this pop star,
yeah,
from punk to kind of this more of a middle of the road pop star.
Right.
And so I was really surprised to hear it on Jay Sohm's record, because I never would have expected these two to collaborate at
right.
all.
Right.
Two different worlds, like bedroom pop and like arena rock
exactly.
or pop, arena pop. So I love this song, and it was the best thing. How about this? The best thing I've ever heard Haley on.
Okay.
And any of all the songs I've heard of her, this is the one that I like the most. So, super excited to play this again. Willis's choice. This is Jay Sohm, Past Lives, followed by a British group called Blossoms. I want to hear your thoughts on this before we play it. And we have a couple of minutes anyway. So Blossom, the song Blown Rose. Did you have an opinion on this song?
Yeah, it's catchy. It's catchy. I'd never heard of Blossoms before. And you say that, I like your description best, but the way you say it, it's like catchy
it,
and
remember.
Infectious. And if you're not listening to the lyrics, you wouldn't notice that oh. it's kind of a sad song. Like the lyrics are, it's a sad message, forlorn message. And that this dichotomy of, you know, the a pop upbeat song with kind of a sad message is like what you say is a good pop song, because it's not obvious what the message is. You really have to kind of feel it and hear it and read it and listen to it, versus, you know, just a pop song about a happy day. That's different.
Good point.
And I feel like this is a recurring theme. Like, we have some themes that recur every now and then, and one of these is that you like these type of songs where it's kind of sounds like one thing, but it's actually another. And kind of like where I say, well, this song sounds like a good one you would drive over a bridge at night, right? And
yes.
So this is one of those songs, I think. And the chorus, actually, you said it, so it's from 2016,
yeah,
and it's Britpop, which to me it sounds a lot like from maybe 15 years prior, a band called Material Issue.
Oh, and a great, by the way, the voice of our station of uh-huh. Hi-Fi Dream, the voice, her husband is a member of Material Issue, or
that's
maybe
right.
her ex-husband now. I
you
don't know.
You mentioned that, and I had forgotten band it was, but that's
yeah,
the
yeah. I love them though, dude. Good call.
But this reminds me of that, and that kind of Brit, the vocals, kind of what's the word, like they've got a swaggery type of vocal. I don't know what's the right word.
That British kind of. Not Cockney, but
yeah. Anyways, we'll hear it.
I was gonna say the to give you an idea of the lyric, the bittersweet. So the music is a bubbly, upbeat. It's a pop rock song, but the lyric starts off with "I made my wish a rose, covered in old spangles beside you. A river froze, Felicia, I miss you." And then it goes into this beautiful bridge, which really leads to a nice chorus. But the stately homes of England, how beautiful they stand. Lately, it's the only love I know. Blown rose. So there's like this, I guess, like a heartbreak in dressed up in this pop melody. So you're hearing this glamorous, beautiful pop song, and then if lying beneath it is this very sort of sensitive figure of this of the story. I guess our antagonist, our protagonist, what would
right.
that be? Anyway, great song. And here's my point from earlier when I said that, like, my change of approach to this show. This, I just sat here listening to music the other day or doing something, and it like struck me of this song. I'm like, wait a minute, that song, I forgot about it from years ago. And I wound up looking it up right in that moment. And I was like, I got to put this on the deep dive. I put it right at the top of the deep dive list that my running list.
Yeah.
So when I went to do the show, I was like, I'm playing this week. I wouldn't have even remembered this song. Oh, 2 weeks ago, I would have been like, oh, I haven't heard that in years, you know? And I came back around and I'm like, holy cow, this song, it's even better now than I remembered it, you know, 6 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, that's what's so cool about music, is when you want to share it with someone, like what we do on the show with each
that's
other
right.
and our listeners, it like elevates the meaning of the song so much, or the purpose of the song so much.
Yeah, so this is going to be the last set, but I want to say one more thing since we're running plenty early, but I want to give you this one thing that I was trying to figure out all week. Hi-Fi Dream. I'm like, it sounds like maybe the balance is off. And I listen a lot, so obviously I'm a freak. But
I do too.
I try to keep it balanced. I all try right. to make sure it's not leaning too far one way, because I know that that is not what I want. But I started thinking, like, electronic is, it's always been the pulse of the station, but like I was thinking, I've heard at times where I'm like, I can't avoid, like, 4 out of 5 songs are way more electronic, and I don't want to go all the way that far.
Okay.
So I decided I could do this in our system with the cloud system is kind of, you know, intelligent enough where I could break it down by tags.
Yeah.
So I took all songs that have the electronic tag on it, and all the songs that have an alternative / dream pop tag. So I coupled the alternative shoegaze dream pop together and the electronic together.
Okay.
Separately. So electronic tags had 2,061 songs. Alternative dream pop had 2,100 songs.
Okay.
Psychedelic soul alone had 577. Trip hop alone had 388.
Okay.
New wave alone had 531. So you could take psych, soul, trip hop, new wave, add those together, and you have about the 3-prong, you know, you could go that way,
okay,
even though
okay.
they're not the same, you know, but I'm saying yeah. like to, for the wheel itself. But so electronic wasn't the highest number. Now there's songs that share, like electronic and alternative share a tag. I didn't get into those. There's a lot of songs in the system.
Yeah, they're so overlap. Okay.
But there, these are, so this kind of gives me a bigger idea or general understanding of how it looks on a storyboard, if you will. And I am now saying it's probably split down the middle, the exactly how it should. But alternative dream pop, slightly more titles. Is that surprising to you?
You mean you changed it? Or you're saying,
I didn't change it. This is just literally
what
I computed what it is now.
I see.
Today.
I see.
Electronic, I thought, had the most titles. And the most representation,
but actually, it's the opposite.
Dream pop alternative is slightly more, very slightly. I mean, I didn't.
I mean, that's
think
like
about
so.
This.
It's like saying 51-49% when you say
40,
slightly more.
40 is the difference of, like, you know, we're talking 2100 to 2061, 2061.
Right. That makes
it's
sense
close.
To me. That's kind of how I hear it, actually. And it really depends on what
okay.
time of day you're tuned in, because you
true.
Have some mood enhancing. Mood enhancements to the algorithm, right? You know, it's not just always the same.
Right. More
pattern.
Like if you listen to between 6 p.m. and midnight, it's a little more electronic, a little more longer songs, a lot more like
right.
maybe like electronic and up tempo. But between midnight and 6, more psychedelic. It's more trippy. There's more rock. There's more psychedelic in there.
Right.
So, yeah.
So
I would call it different times for sure.
Yeah, but are those times, just for our information, are those times shuffling or organizing based on those tags or other criteria like
categories? Yeah,
BPMs
based on,
and
I have categories like yeah. So like I know it's yeah, way so, too much for most people, but there's like, you know, for example, in the overnight category, 12 to 6,
yeah,
there are actually 11 p.m. to 6. There's a what I call. appropriately titled the 420 songs, which
yeah.
is just kind of like a little bit hazier.
Got it.
That's a specific category that doesn't play outside of those hours.
Right.
So those are, there's 3 or 4 of those in each hour.
And that's independent of the tags.
Independent of the tags.
I got it.
Yeah, it's
okay.
like A, B, C, D, E, F, G
yes.
are the categories, and then there's a 420 category.
Got
and
it.
An NR category, which is like long songs, longer, dancey electronic songs.
Got it.
So like I could put in an Underworld song or whatever in there,
got
and
it.
It's like 7.5 minutes and not feel like it's too whack. So,
right.
yeah. Anyways, there's our school lesson for the week, getting to know Hi-Fi Dream, the inner workings of the two most influential people on the station. So, Nate would be the third for sure. All right, so let's get to it. Let's play the last two songs. Thanks so much, bro. This has been great as always.
Thanks, Greg. Always a fun show and very diverse this time with Wormholes and all that.
Yes, different journey this week. You could hear the replay Monday nights 10 p.m. So 10 a.m. Sunday morning till noon, 10 p.m. Monday night it replays. Willis, I'll see you back here next week.
All right, thanks, Greg.
Broken sparrow, an open echo, looking sideways, casting shadows, entire lifetimes. walking side by side with your past lives into a standstill. Still.
This is The Deep Dive with Greg and Willis.